I've got the answer to the big question. What is the meaning of life? And I'm not going to say 42, as Doug Adams said. I wrote this incredibly complicated, intellectually rigorous sermon, and when I was going over it, I realized that the point of my sermon couldn't have been more simple or simpler. Our lives are about connecting. They're about the connections that we make with each other. That's what religion is, religare, to be bound up together in a caring community. Our connections are with the source of existence, the source of meaning in our lives, however we imagine or language or poeticize that. Ourselves, our very selves, are a function of the fact that we connect. As human beings, without another person, we don't even have language. And without language, we don't have a sense of self or a sense of time beyond simple instinct. Descartes was essentially wrong that it is not I think, therefore I am. It is I think, therefore you must be. Because without you, I don't have a me. Without you, I don't have a language to even create the structure of how I understand myself. Without you, I'm not fully human. I may not even be partially human. We need each other in order to be human, in order to get the energy to engage a world, in order to get the sense of self that feels worthy of being in the world and worthy of engaging the world. I think connection is at the heart of what human beings try to do. And we do it in a lot of good ways, we do it in some ways that aren't so good, but once we understand the contingent nature, the mutual responsibility that we have to each other and for each other, we can begin, I guess to use the metaphor of that parachute, to connect all of those strings to the things that identify us and make us human, all of those cords, and have some kind of coherent path through life and not simply to fall and be buffeted about by just random winds. Life and a life being connected to the world and to each other is difficult. There are times when I suspect most of us, I know I personally, have the urge to flee, to take out that NPR implant that I have in my head that pipes in the news, to cancel my subscriptions to the LA Times and to the New York Times, but never to the Fullerton Observer. That never enters my thoughts. But to just flee from the overwhelming pain and complexity of a world that just doesn't seem to be easily amenable to change. It seems to me, at this moment, subject to change in the talk back, but it seems to me that trying to balance our sense of being connected to each other and to the world and the legitimate needs that we have to be quiet, to recharge our batteries, not to be overwhelmed by just how the enormity and the complexity of human suffering, of the earth suffering, of all of those things that grab our attention. This is a real balancing act about how to be connected and how to stay connected and to understand that it is like a human relationship. There are times in most intimate human relationships that you may think about walking out the door and slamming it. And the issue, whether religious or political or personal or theological, is not so much faith, but faithfulness to the relationships that we have with each other and with life. all of us get to moments where we feel overwhelmed and we just need to step back or to yell, scream, shout, and slam doors. That's not a bad thing. That's, you know, if you don't feel sometimes overwhelmed, you're not paying enough attention. If you feel totally and chronically overwhelmed, the connection is too tight and the volume is too high, and it is hard to maintain a balance. And think about balancing for a second. I'm going to try, and after three back surgeries, my balance on my left leg is not that great. There's a little diminished. Maybe even I can get up together and hold each other up and find some balance. But balance is not static. When you're balancing, you are not standing still. You're compensating back and forth. And I think that this is how we are and how we must be with our world. The hymn today, the anthem today, spoke in a sense to our condition. So dip your finger in the water and give it to somebody who's burning in hell. Well, if you take that kind of literally, that might not solve that person's problem, but it might solve ours, to be a part of a solution, knowing that we can't be the entire solution to the various hells that human beings live in, to all of the pain, to all of the war, to all of the starvation, to all of the preventable death, to all of the ways that human beings dwell in physical and emotional health. Maybe a drop of water that is the individual human life and the individual human's efforts to make a difference won't solve the problem. But it is, by God, part of it. And by dipping your fingers in the water and doing what you can, what I can, what we can, it does make a difference to the universe. Mountains are worn away one drop of water at a time. Those drops may not make an apparent difference in the hell of Lazarus, but they make a difference both to the victims in the world and to us. But it is a relationship of faithfulness to our need for each other. It isn't constant connectivity. One of the great ironies of our world is we are in the best connected time in human history. We've got cell phones, we've got BlackBerries, we've got internet. We can be connected to each other constantly. I'm going to refer you to today's comics and the comic strip Zits, which really annoyed me because it was essentially my whole sermon in about six panels, where the teen character is doing his instant message BlackBerrying or whatever, text messaging, and he's walking across traffic and he doesn't see it, and he's walking through soccer balls and he doesn't see it, and he's walking through nature and he doesn't see it. And the last panel is, you know, without this, I just don't know how I'd be connected to things and know what's going on in the world. And he missed the world. The central irony of our technological revolution is we haven't learned how to manage the tools, how to take in information that connect us to each other personally, as opposed to being disconnected from each other because we're so busy on the BlackBerries and the text messages and the constant availability that we miss what's going on. Once upon a time, I remember my first time in Europe, we had a joke that there was somebody that was trying to do Europe on 500 pictures a day. And this is a reference to Europe on $5 a day, when $5 could actually buy something. And there were a couple of people who missed Europe because they didn't actually see it except through a viewfinder. Sometimes we don't see each other because we're too busy talking and texting and receiving all of this information, and it can be absolutely overwhelming. We can drown in it, and we can drown in it pretty easily. Unitarian Universalists believe in the inherent worth and dignity of all people. I believe in that. I also know that my feelings are not the same across the world. I recognize the inherent worth and dignity of the people who suffer on the far ends of the earth, but I know that my heart isn't connected in exactly the same way. This is the reason that media criticism that I've shared before, when a plane crashes in Africa, the question is how many Fullertonians are on it, or Californians, or Americans, because if it's just them, it's not a story. If it's just Africans, it's not a story. If it's just Europeans, unless there is an affinity bond, we human beings have a defense mechanism that I think we have to accept at some level, that I relate to the inverse square law in physics, which is as events move away from us physically, our sense of connection and compassion diminish. I commented last week on the VTech shootings that one of the good things and one of the bad things about all of this communication that we have is that being connected by satellite and internet across the world, we can have an expanded sense of compassion and connection to people out there in the world. And that's really good. But we can also be overwhelmed. We can also drown and feel helpless by all of the pain that is out there. And we suffer from what's called compassion fatigue. I can hold in my head at the same time two seemingly opposite ideas. One is the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. The person who is suffering from dehydration, the leading cause of preventable death in the world, in Africa, or HIV in Southeast Asia, I am their worth, the worth of their lives, the truth of their suffering is as real and as important and as intrinsically important as what I see in front of me in Fullerton, in Orange County, in Los Angeles, in Santa Monica. The worth and the dignity do not differ by geography, by race, by any of those things. But our ability to relate as human beings is protected, and we protect ourselves. That's one of the reasons why stories about suffering are so much more impactful when they deal with single individuals or small communities to whom, with whom we can relate. That's why fiction is almost always, when done well, so much more impactful than simply news and numbers. 6 million in a Holocaust is a number that is unimaginable. If we took the pain and the loss from people that we have loved and multiplied that by 1,000 or 1 million or 6 million, we would be destroyed in an instant. We are protected by those great numbers from really taking them in. We are protected by distance from really taking in the amount of suffering in the world. But that suffering is our business. It's our business to try to find a balance and an accommodation where we understand that every human being has the same inherent worth and dignity. And we understand that we all have a limited capacity for true empathy. We have a limited capacity in terms of the amount of water that we can dip our finger into and to deliver, but it means that we still have a responsibility to feel what we can feel, to protect ourselves well enough so that we do not drown in a sea of pain. We don't want to miss this life. This life has beauty and joy and laughter and songs and dancing, and we must not feel guilty when we feel joy in a world where there is so much pain. We must not be crushed by the amount of pain out there, by our ability to connect. We have to learn how to manage that difficult balance of being connected and being protected. It's part of what allows us to be human. If we do not feel we are overprotected, if we feel we can do nothing, we are selfish. If we feel we have to do everything, we will be disillusioned and burn out. Connection and finding the balance of our connection with life, with each other, through our churches, through our secular organizations, through our political organizations, knowing that we have immense power to make a difference in the lives of each other, and by doing so to make a great difference in our own life, is a huge and wonderful challenge and a gift. For me, I find the meaning of life in receiving and in giving, in being related to people, in being related to a world that is beautiful and fragile and joyful and tragic, and to enjoy the light while that light still shines. On being connected, we reach out, as the chart indicated, from hand to hand, giving each other helping hands in our own communities, because that's where we start. If you can't love and relate to and look into the eyes and hold and hug with love and compassion the people in front of you, your family, your friends, those closest, it is really hard to reach across the world. But as we learn to open our hearts, as we learn also the limits of what our hands can do, we can have a broader reach, broader ambition, but ambition that is tempered by reality and values together in attention. Self and world, it's not conflict, it's relationship. It isn't constant, but it is with a faithfulness to what we bring to each other's lives and to the life of the world. There's no one single balance for every human being. There's no single way, and there's no constant place that we can arrive and say, now I've got it. But to stay open in mind and in heart and in attitude to the love, to the joy, to the pain, to the importance and the worth and the dignity of our planet and all who share it with us. That's the great challenge, to find, to reveal, to make meaning with our lives.